a lot of my buddies are being framed. And the scary part about it is, I don't know how common it is. How many guys in jail right now have been fucked over? I'm guessing an alarming amount. I remember I talked to a corrections officer, and I said, I heard that a lot of these guys are in here for domestics, and what happened, domestic abuse, and what happens is they get in a fight with a girl, she calls the cops, and the cops come, and the cops now, once you call the cops in a domestic abuse situation, the ball's rolling, like the ball in Indiana Jones, right? It's just a big boulder, and you just have to run. She can change her mind and say, no, I was in a bad mood and I was drunk and I love him. Doesn't matter. It's already rolling. That happened with Anthony Cumia, right? I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that the woman in the case changed her mind immediately. I mean, they did go shopping for iPhones right after. But she couldn't withdraw the charges because the state takes it over. So once there's a domestic abuse case, the cops have to pursue it. The state charges you. And then you, a normal part of that is you get a restraining order. Now, the restraining order is inevitable. They can't not do a restraining order. So anyway, that couple, he gets released or whatever. They make up. And then he starts living there again. And they start fucking. And he has, you know, a Batman poster on her wall because he's kind of trashy and he's into Batman. What is with these adults into Batman? Can you believe there's men with Batman tattoos? You might as well have a Barney the Dinosaur tattoo. He's a fictional character made for little kids. I've even railed about this at parties and then in my peripheral vision seen a dude in a Wolverine shirt and went, whoops. Sorry, dude. No, it's cool when you have a Wolverine shirt. I just mean other people. Like, that's lame that other people like superheroes. All these people writing in-depth reviews about the new Avengers. I think that Iron Man should have had more camera time. Iron Man doesn't exist. Reading Lord of the Rings is less gay. I'd rather hear about Tolkien. At least it's kind of literature. Oh great, I forgot what I was talking about because you distracted me. I'm totally lost. I'm 100% lost. I've seen people do that on TV where they go, I actually totally forgot what I was talking about. And the host has to go, okay, anyway, back to the new tax code. Domestic abuse. Yes. Batman poster. I remember now. So he gets back to, you know, the house and he has a sock drawer there, his own chest of drawers entirely. His shirts, he's kind of smart about it. He goes, for being a Batman fan, he goes, socks, top drawer, shirts, middle drawer, pants, bottom drawer. So it's shaped like a person. It's structured like a person. But they get in a fight again. This is a year later now. She calls the cops because she's a stupid, crazy drunk. And he, as far as the law goes, someone who has a restraining order is in someone's house that they're restrained from. So he might as well be a stalker, like in that Jennifer Lopez movie where she's trying to get away from her ex-boyfriend. As far as the law goes, that's the exact same thing. It's a psychotic stalker who's been following her for a year and broke into the house somehow. He got in the house. The Batman poster and the sock drawer are irrelevant. Boom, he's off to jail. So that's an innocent man in prison. And I know so many guys like this, and with Trump's America, where Trump derangement syndrome has gone full bore, there's a lot of my friends going to jail, and we're fighting for them and getting them out of jail. By the way, we're winning, but it's a bizarre time going on right now. And I like to keep these podcasts apolitical and talk about like what's your favorite fart, but I have to talk about this because it's on my mind. But I'm thinking about this guy, Clark. He was a dude from Hawaii. I don't know why you'd ever leave Hawaii. It seems awesome to me. My best friend, Roseanne Barr, lives there. It just seems great. And every time I meet people who leave Hawaii, they go, it's too small, man. You can go from coast to coast in like 10 minutes. And I go, yeah, that sounds awesome. Why'd you leave? Was it Dog the Bounty Hunter? Did he chase you out of there? Are you an ice addict? So Clark comes down. He's in Ohio, and he's with this girl, meets this girl down there, and she's a victim of feminism, but also a cunt. You know, you can be a victim and a bitch at the same time. And she's in Ohio. Her parents pay her rent. She's got no future, some stupid liberal arts education. And she's just wandering the country like so many people, so many young people I meet. Like, I met this couple on the plane, and they've been dating for 8 years. And she was reading a book called, like, Hey, White People, Stop Talking. I'm not exaggerating. It had a title somewhat similar to that. It was like, Why White People Need to Shut Up When It Comes to Race, or something like that. So she's sitting there reading a book called You Suck. And he taught art. And I don't have a problem with any of that per se, but they've been dating for 8 years, and he hadn't apologized. Is that what a proposal is? I'm sorry for fucking you so much. Here's a ring. I'm sorry, I've been skull fucking you for 8 years. I feel terrible. Here, I'll pay for everything for the rest of your life. That's what a proposal is. It's a proposal. Apologrosal? That's an apology proposal. Anyway, and he hadn't proposed. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're going to New York. Put a ring on it. Knock her up. Stop wasting everyone's time. I know you like to party, but you're in a monogamous relationship anyway. Do something with it. Why are you sitting in a Ferrari in park? Drive, bitch. So she's one of those girls who's like, ha-ha, I don't need a kitchen. I don't need a ball and chain. I'm just going to do tons of coke and suck strangers' dicks and live in Ohio. That's the beauty of feminism, empowered. You think I'm your slave? I'm not. I'm going to wear rubber boots and fishnet stockings and write slut on my tits and walk down the street. Ha-ha, I win. Yay, you win. Great work. Wow. By the way, I'm looking at nice tits. Or those slut walks, too. They're always like, the ones you see in the pictures are pretty good, but the ones that are not on camera are just stunning, stunningly unattractive. They look like my friends, but with vaginas, like dudes with tits. Or New York with their, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, in a big parade where they run around in bondage gear and suck each other off on a parade float in the West Village, which is as gay as Israel is Jewish. You might as well, I'm not exaggerating here, you might as well have a parade in Israel that says, we're here, we're Jews, get used to it. I'm pretty used to it. Yeah, I can handle you being gay in Chelsea, where it's weird if you're not gay. Chelsea is so, the West Village is so established as a gay area that we used to work there, because in advertising, the advertising world is just below it. So the good bars were just up the street. Me and my buddy Sebastian, that I started Rooster with, this ad agency, we would go to an old man bar for fags. It was like Clint Eastwood, like regular dudes just sitting down, having a cigar, sucking a dick, just like old, tough fags. Like, so it just looked like your old man bar in your neighborhood, but with a rainbow flag in the corner. And like, they'd be wearing a shirt that was a Broadway play. And there'd be some, like, you know, vaudevillian actor 8x10 behind the bar that was signed. But besides that, they were grumpy and rude, and they were drinking Bud. Just a bunch of gay dudes hanging out. Fucking so glad we had that in common, that we didn't want women in the bar, right? So she was one of those victims, in a sense. I mean, she was just lost. She'd be much happier at home. So he falls in love with her, and I saw pictures of her. Her tits were just pizza slices. They were devoid of any meat, so they were just like plastic bags on her chest, just like sandwich bags. And I'm kind of annoyed at him for that. Like, I understand going to jail for perfect grapefruits, but sandwich bags? You're going to get raped in prison. He just told me the other day, luckily he's in the hospital sort of section because he has diabetes, but he goes, there was a fight 20 feet from my cot and a guy died. I'm like, you almost died for shitty tits, Clark. Are you proud of yourself? Braveheart died protecting not just Scotland, but the world from tyranny. He liberated the universe And you died, almost died, for 2 sandwich bags. Anyway, so he goes to New York with her. And he bought a handgun in Ohio, where buying a handgun's like buying a pizza. And he's just shooting the gun, having a gay old time. So it was in his glove box. He goes, I guess I'll register it when I go to Manhattan. And yes, I'm recognizing the astounding naivete of this gentleman. Uh-oh, I'm worried about the levels here. They seem kind of low. Should I go closer to the mic? I'm recognizing the astounding naivete of this gentleman. That's obviously a factor here. But it's not illegal to be naive. So he goes to New York, and he's fucking this, I'm going to say like 4.9. She's definitely, to look at immediately, you go 7. But with sandwich bags, that loses you a ton of points. So it's a 4.9. And he's with her. And then he comes home one day, and this lazy bitch who probably doesn't even have a job, right? She's just partying. She's just like some, we've developed a generation of aristocrats. Just like the very rich Lord Governorshire would go to Morocco in the summer and just sit there in the winter, I guess, and sit there and, you know, fuck boys and do smoke hash. That's now an entire generation of millennials. Who, by the way, are you familiar with this fact? Are having a serious problem with anal leakage. Young girls. Oh, God, they've just ruined sex. So young men have been watching so much porn that they think butt fucking is normal. Butt fucking is unusual, folks. It's something that should happen maybe once a year when your significant other is shit hammered. You only hammer her shithole when she's shit hammered. And it's like, whoa, that was a kooky night. We got up to all kinds of mischief. It shouldn't be like a thing you do. It's not like a hand job. But young, you know, millennials are doing anal so much that they're getting distended ani. They're getting, and I'm not, I mean, I know this sounds raunchy, and but this is like, you could be watching Discovery Channel right now, and they'd say the same thing. Talk to doctors. There's a huge epidemic of distended anuses with millennials because these boys watch too much porn and they've normalized the weirdest sex in the world. And that sex, by the way, is weird. I was just reading an article the other day about this Japanese Asian porn star, blonde hair. She looks pretty white. Who would cry in between shots. She'd go to another room and just have a good cry. I also, Mercedes Carrera, who used to be on my old show, she told me about these dudes in porn who will go and have normal sex, like in between shots where they hug a girl and kiss her on the lips and hold her close. That's normal. If you were to take your sex life, right, take the past year of sex and film it, and you just see two people holding each other like it would be the worst porno ever. That means that porn is weird. Anyway, so this woman is just fucking getting banged. And Clark comes home one night and home, like to her house, to her apartment that her daddy pays for. And she's getting banged by a stranger. So he does what normal men do and he beats up the guy. By the way, the first time I met Clark, I beat him up. That was in another episode, by the way. And we became best friends because that's how men court. Fighting is our sex. That's our one night stand. So she calls the cops. She calls the cops, and I guess the 911 call was, "Hi, I'm a huge slut that got these two guys fighting. What should I do?" So the cops come over because they don't want to get fired, and they go, "Is he an imminent threat to you?" Again, just like, I don't want to get fired. If you get stabbed later, I'll get in shit. So she goes, "No, I don't think so." I think a lot of these women change their mind by the time the cop shows up. And I know that sounds sexist, but these women are trivializing real rape victims. So it's actually feminist to say that, because you call the cops when a man is breaking in your house to rape you, not when you've been too much of a whore and you started a fight. So they say, "Is he an imminent threat to you? Is he a danger?" And she goes, she probably just wants to, like, "Can I just go get a frozen yogurt right now? I don't want to talk to you. Can I just binge watch the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt right now? I really don't want to be talking." And she goes, "No, I guess not." And then, "Does he have a weapon?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, he does, actually. He has a gun in his car." So in the cop world, a gun in his car. I've already told this story. I'm getting worried now. That's a huge deal. So they throw him in jail. Yeah, maybe I fucking did. Shit, I'm repeating myself. Sorry about this. So now he's in prison, and he's going to be there for months. We went to see him the other day. And, it, you know, if you look at the way the courts saw this, they saw this as a man who was violent, who has a gun in his car, who was a threat to society, and they put him in jail to protect society. And it sounds good to you, but this is the crux of what I want to get across here, and it's going to make up for the fact that I may have just repeated myself. Every time journalists write about something you know about, aren't you surprised at how wrong they are? Like when they write about your hometown, and they're like, Waterton, Pennsylvania, named after their eminent, ubiquitous water supply. And you're reading it going, no, it was named after John Water, who founded the town. And they're known, their dairy is second to none. It was the biggest dairy town. And you're like, no, that's the neighboring town of Catslenium. And you're just reading it going, everything is wrong here. They've only got about 60% of it right. And they keep talking about the neighboring town. Okay, that's just a random stupid article about your hometown. But when they write about a band or it's anything that involves you specifically, you're reading it going, Jesus, these people are lazy. Half the time, and this is often women, by the way, half the time they spell your name wrong. And you go, wait a minute, what else is wrong? This is also true of the justice system. It's also full of lazy assholes and social justice warriors. Prosecutors now in court, they are the same people who write for the Huffington Post. They are Antifa. They are lesbian lawyers with an axe to grind. And they are throwing people in jail for revenge because they felt uncomfortable in junior high. This notion of this shit journalist like that Slate and Salon and HuffPo, those people aren't just in journalism, like trying to get you fired. They're in the justice system trying to get you imprisoned. And I don't think they understand the kind of power they wield. You get some grumpy lesbian prosecutor just throwing someone in jail for 30 years. Ha! Got him, white supremacist. And he's not. Which brings me to my next case, my buddy in Ottawa, who is also a little naive, and he is really into defending Israel, even though he's not even Jewish. Little Glaswegian construction guy, and they go, hey, we're going to D.C. to do this pro-Israel rally. So he goes, yeah, let's do it. And he goes down there, and this Palestinian comes up to him, Palestinian professor, it says in the news, and starts, you know, antagonizing him. Now, even that in and of itself, right? Even that. Say there was a big, like, Black Power rally, and it was all about how blacks need their own, they want Florida or something crazy, right? Imagine I went there in my three-piece suit with my Ray-Bans, horn-rimmed glasses, and was like, excuse me, I'd like to speak to you. Don't you think what you're doing is ridiculous? I mean, you're never, obviously I'm looking for a fight. Obviously I want to cause a scene and get this in the newspapers. I'm clearly not looking for a normal, I was going to say ecumenical, but I forgot what that word means, an ecumenical discussion. I'm looking for a bloody row. And we had this, by the way, in England with Ali Dawa and Mohammed Hijab. They clearly weren't there to ask questions. They wanted to get beat up, and they wanted to go in the papers. So this guy, Palestinian dude, goes there, and he starts choking my buddy from Ottawa. And he does what any hoser would do. He just beats him up, punches him, knocks him to the ground, kicks him on the ground. Then these Jewish Defense League dudes start beating the guy with Israeli flags. They leave. They get lost right after. The cops don't arrest him. There's no arrest there. They don't see anything. They're like, oh, well, we didn't catch the guys with the flags. That's unfortunate. And then my buddy just goes back to Ottawa. Then he finds out in the local news that he's been arrested for a hate crime. And the way the media is framing it is that he just went down there to, because he's a white supremacist that wanted to attack Palestinians for no reason. I just want to, let's go to D.C. and beat up some Palestinians. By the way, if you want to beat up Palestinians, go to Gaza. There's plenty there. Take that quote out of context. Now, here's the part that freaks me out. He found out that he missed court from the news. they sent him a notice on April 30th that he was due in court the next day. He didn't really see it till May 2nd. But the newspaper, the second, or the internet, the second he missed the date, there was a title that said Proud Boy. Yes, all these cases are Proud Boys. Proud Boy too scared to show up in court. Now, how did the media know more about his case than he did? I think these SJW prosecutors are in cahoots with the media and sending them the story. And when you look at, there's articles about this guy, and they use a picture of him being detained by police. It's from a totally different rally. But it's put in attacks Palestinian man, and you see a cop's knee on his head, and you go, wow, he must have really been kicking that Palestinian's ass. Isn't that sinister? And the state, it's D.C., right? And D.C. is weird, because in D.C., if you smash a window, it's not a state. So you just smashed America's window. That's why Antifa, we're looking at 10 years for the riots during Disrupt J20. It's a big deal to do something bad here in D.C. I'm in D.C., by the way. So he committed a hate crime against America. So he's looking at 40 years. That's pretty bad. And the truth is miles away from the prosecutor's case and from the media. It's the same as Clark, although Clark didn't get a lot of media. And the same goes with a lot of Bay Stickman. Let me just interject. Before I get to Bay Stickman, let me interject another story. And this I find very telling. And I'm sorry to be so political on this app, but it's really scaring me. Because everything we do is illegal. You've probably committed 4 felonies today you don't even know about. When Nasula Bakuli Nasula, whatever the hell his stupid Arabic name is, when he made that Muhammad video that Hillary blamed Benghazi on, she went up to a Marine's father and she said, we're going to put him in jail. The guy who made that video, we're going to put him in jail. And the Marine's father goes, she thought he'd like that, but he goes, what's the crime? I don't understand. First of all, I don't take it for granted that that riot was based on the Muhammad video. But secondly, why are you guaranteeing me an arrest before you know there's a crime? And that's the way the state works. They can do that. You know, in New York City, it's illegal to dance at a club without a cabaret license. In New York City, it is illegal to have an ice cream cone in your back pocket. That comes from horse thieves. They would put an ice cream cone in their back pocket, and the horse would start licking it, and then they'd walk away. And when someone said, hey, you're stealing that horse, they'd go, no, I'm not. I'm just walking down the street with an ice cream cone I'm going to have later. Giuliani picked up that cabaret law, the dancing law, to help crack down on drugs. I mean, it worked, but I wasn't happy about it. They had courtrooms where lawyers would have to reenact the dance in front of the judge. They'd have to reenact the dance that this person was being arrested for, or the club was losing their license for, I should say. That's fucked up. So she guaranteed an arrest, and then they just comb through his shit, and they find out that he was involved in bank fraud many years ago, and he was on parole. And one of the conditions of his parole was that he has to never use a fake name under any circumstances. Fine. So he did that video, which was obviously terrible, but it was also pretty relevant. That video was mocking Muhammad, yes. He was a Coptic Christian. These are Christians in Egypt. And these people are literally being crucified. Like, they're being nailed to crosses. They're being slaughtered. Their churches are being burned down. So they're not happy about the Muslims over there. And he did this video to mock Muhammad as a protest. And yes, he used a fake name in the credits. Because when Theo van Gogh and Ayaan Hirsi Ali did an anti-Islamic art film, they got fucking murdered. A terrorist went up to Theo van Gogh and stuck a rapier through his chest with a note on it. And by the way, Theo van Gogh's last words were, hold on a sec.
Shut up!
Theo van Gogh's last words were, can we talk about this? Which I think is a Pamela Geller play. Can we talk about this? So, yes, he used a different last name. That was to save his life. And here's what's consequential. I was on Fox News. I was on Red Eye. And I was talking about this guy. And I noticed from the right a distinct lack of empathy for this guy. And the tone, this was from Andy Levy especially, the tone was very, well, you know, he shouldn't have violated his parole. And I would say to not just Andy, but everyone, I'd say, what was the parole violation? And they go, I don't know. That's the most important part of this podcast. That's the crux. There's this distinct apathy when it comes to humans being thrown in cages. And I want to know why you were vilified. I always bring it back to Pig Killer. Remember Pig Killer in Beyond Thunderdome when Mad Max goes down there to work with the guys shoveling pig shit all day for the methane factories? Pig Killer was there because he stole a pig to feed his family. But pigs are used to power Bartertown, where Tina Turner runs it. And Mad Max says, what are you in for? And he goes, I stole a pig. That's not a great Australian accent. And he goes, what'd you get? 30-ish life, but it's only about 5 years. No one lasts more than 5 years down here. And he's smiling, and he has the word pig killer, I think it's burnt onto his forehead, and he has a collar on. And there's so many fucking pig killers, not just in prison right now, but ostracized in their lives, fired for their jobs for a rumor, you know, ostracized from their families for a rumor. If you hear something terrible about a person, look it up. Clark Kent did nothing wrong. My Ottawa buddy, I'm not using his name on purpose, did nothing wrong. Nasula Bakuli Nasula did nothing wrong. By the way, when he came out of prison, he said, I am very sorry. And what I did was very wrong. And Obama has been working so hard to help our country. And what I did was terrible. And it sounded like someone in Czechoslovakia under Stalin, like they had been kept awake for 3 days. They would do that. They would sleep deprive them. And then these people would represent themselves at their own trial and recommend the death penalty for themselves because they were so sleep deprived and abused. And I thought, wow, we've become Stalinist. Now our prisoners get out of jail after a year and say, what I did was terrible. I've learned my lesson. I should never have used a different name on an art video about Islam. All right, so the third case I'm thinking of is, obviously Tommy Robinson. There's a million stories about him being misrepresented, but Bay Stick Man. So we go to these rallies, and they're free speech rallies. We don't fight anyone. Here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Lauren Southern shows up at this free speech rally in Berkeley. She has goggles on, a helmet, and a gas mask. And she goes, I feel ridiculous wearing this. I feel like a LARPer. I feel like I'm doing cosplay, or I'm some sort of like futuristic warrior. That day, Antifa were throwing rocks at her. By the way, she's had piss thrown on her two separate times. So they throw rocks at her, so the helmet came in handy. They were pepper spraying people, that made the goggles handy, and they were throwing smoke bombs, that made the mask handy. So she ended up using all the things she felt ridiculous putting on her head. So that's the world we live in as people who love Trump and love free speech and want to go to these rallies. So Bay Stickman shows up, and he's an ex-con. He spent time in prison. He fought his ass off. He was a white guy. Look, if you're a white guy that went to prison, you fought a lot. And they didn't like him in prison. They purposely put him in black areas in the prison. The way he put it to me, when he said, dudes that were so black, you didn't understand them. Like, the slang and the accent was so thick. You're like, I'm sorry, I don't quite follow you. So he's been fighting for a long time. And he shows up to these rallies. And his main weapon, by the way, was a shield. He had a shield to protect from bricks and all the smoke bombs, whatever, tear gas, what were the things? Flash grenades. They were throwing flash grenades at us. So he has a shield to make all that shit bounce off. But he also just has a pole, like a flagpole, like a stick. So he goes to this rally, and he starts fighting back against these Antifa nuts. And he bonks one of them. Now, this is, you go look up the Portland weapons that were confiscated. The Portland police confiscated a bunch of Antifa weapons. It looks like the year 700. These are medieval instruments, little T-shaped knives that you could sink into someone's chest, really elaborate weapons. That's what we're up against. So God forbid you should bring your own shield and maybe a stick to defend yourself. But for some reason, mainstream media has sort of glorified the alt-left and then labeled everyone slightly right of them alt-right and vilified them at the same time. So he's facing a lot of years for carrying a baton, I guess the stick. He wraps some tape around the bottom, and that counts as a billy club in law in California. So he now brought a billy club to a demonstration to go hurt people. That's the way the law sees it. That's one charge he's facing. He's facing another charge. There was a, and this is just my conjecture, by the way. Do not use this in a court of law. I'm not presenting solid evidence here. But he was at a bar, and there was guys wearing MAGA hats at a club, which in most areas is like being a gay in 1949. So these dudes were harassing this guy wearing a MAGA hat, and Bass Stick Man Kyle was with them. And so they get in a fight, and Bass Stick Man has his arm in a sling. And the fight keeps getting worse and worse, and they move over to the bar. And I think Bass Stick Man may have knocked one of the guys out who was attacking the dude in the MAGA hat. So the bouncer comes over, and the bouncer's about to mess them up. So I believe Stick Man threw a bench, like a stool, that was at the bar at the guy, knocked him out. He had to do that because his arm was in a sling. Now that's, you know, a grievous bodily harm. So he's facing charges for that. Here's the third thing he did. He's driving around in his truck. He's got a super souped up mag truck, big mag rims, whatever you call them. I don't know anything about trucks. It's got totally awesome mags. And he has a Trump flag and an American flag, and he's driving around this park in Berkeley where all the hippies go and all the liberals go and all the Hillary people go. So that's a swastika to them. So as he's driving around, they call the cops, and he doesn't know about this. So he pulls up on like a sand dune and then takes a picture of himself. His friend takes a picture of him with his truck with the flags. The cops come over, and they charge him with riding the sand dunes, even though he's just parking his truck there. Riding the sand dunes illegally. And then they go through his person, and they found this thing on his keychain. It looks almost like a weird butt plug, but it's like a fighting tool that you put your fingers around. It's sort of like brass knuckles, but on the other side of your fist. And you hold that for fights to defend yourself, right? Like it's like the women have that thing on their keychain, the cat's claw. It's sort of like that, but for dudes. It's just a plastic thing. That's illegal, apparently. So now he's got all these different charges, and none of them stem from him going to pick a fight. All of these charges stem from him defending himself or standing around or posing for a picture. This is a guy, by the way, who had his home vandalized. They found out where he lived. Antifa did. They go in there. He's in the back of his car, smoking a cigarette at his home because someone else was driving because he was drunk. So he gets in the car first. Someone else is coming. They book it when they see Antifa, and they start smashing his car, destroying his car. So he goes to get out to fight them. They hold the door closed, he's stuck in the car with them holding the door closed as they destroy it. Completely obliterate his car. And what they're trying to do is break the window. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to break a car window. You cannot do it. Honestly, take a sledgehammer to a passenger window. You won't be able to break it. They're incredible. All these videos you see where cops just smash it instantly, that's a very lucky cop. For the most part, they need a special machine to. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to have spark plugs on my motorcycle. They would steal them because the porcelain on the spark plug, if you smash it, it's so sharp that when you whip it at a car window, it breaks the perfect concave seal that makes them so impenetrable, and then you can break the glass. Anyway, they're trying to break the glass, but what they want to do when they break the glass is spray pepper spray in the hole So he's in like a what do you call it? You know when you smoke a lot of pot in a car? They're in this like hot box, but it'll be pepper spray. Now, I've been pepper sprayed. The idea of being in a pepper spray hot box, I mean, you'd probably die. But I guess their goal was get him at the edge of death and then pull him out and then beat the shit out of him. So that's what he's up against. And he's looking at, I don't know, 9 years. So we have three guys looking at serious jail time. And I want bad guys to go to jail. Don't get me wrong. But it's all based on lies. And the media and the judicial system are both lying at the same time in equally egregious ways. And the scary part about it is, as far as I'm concerned, these are three guys I know very well, intimately. We've all made love many times. No, not that intimate. These are three guys I know intimately. And the scary thing about it is, I wonder what other things are going on there. Like, Johnny Knoxville fucked Jessica Simpson in the butt. And he did a lie detector on Howard Stern. And he just tensed up for the normal questions and then loosened up for the time he was lying. And the lie detector didn't notice. So when he said, did you fuck Jessica Simpson in the ass? He said no, and it didn't register anything because he'd messed with the lie detector. And he thought it was funny and he left. And then he thought later, wait a minute. How many people are in jail because of this thing? How many people lost their job because of this thing? That's a whole other story. Doug Williams did 2 years in prison for exposing the polygraph as a lie. But I'm using it as an example to say, once you discover that this person was framed, not just in the media, but in court, you go, that's just my friends. That's just the guys I know. Who else is being framed? What other bad guys? And I got to say, even with the right and the left, even like this Schneiderman guy, I don't know the case. I want to know it. I want to be aware of it. That's why we have a courtroom. That's why we have the Magna Carta. But how much of the cases were him being... he does sound like a fucking bastard, don't get me wrong. When I hear the case, it sounds like he was abusing his power and abusing women. But some of the cases, you hear a woman say, he stuck his tongue down my throat. And I said, I only like a little bit of tongue. And then he said, do you like a little bit of dick too? And I got out of the car and I had to walk to the party. You walked to a party? Or, you know, what's his name? John Gomeshi, who I hate. But he was accused of choke-fucking a girl, and it was abusive. And then we find out she took selfies of herself with the guy in a park the next day. Schneiderman's probably guilty. Jan Gomeshi wasn't. My friends aren't. But that's not what's important. What's important is that we have this culture of kangaroo courts where we're happy to pillory someone based on rumor. And then when they get prosecuted and when they get thrown in jail, we don't seem to give a shit. Someone goes to jail for 5 years. Bay Stickman was in solitary for a year. I would like to see you survive solitary confinement for one day. Go to jail for a day. Like these punishments, or, you know, get fired, be totally ostracized by your community for a day. I actually read that being ostracized by your friends and family is as stressful as being punched in the face. They've somehow managed to quantify this and gauge the stress levels. So it's easy to cast dispersions and you're allowed to have opinions and everything. I encourage that. But when they have real life consequences, you're playing a big game. It's like my son, he dared me to eat a spider the other day. And I go, okay. But you realize now we're playing you're in the dare community. I will eat that spider, but now I get to dare you to do shit. You can't just sort of dip your head in. That's called a king. Monarchs can make you eat a spider. But if you say I dare to eat a spider and I eat a spider, you're in the club. You're a made man in the mafia. You have to do stuff for me. We're darers. Like when these kids, they come to these rallies, these girls come with baseball bats and you know, broken bottles and stuff. And you go, okay, you realize that's a biker vocabulary, bringing bats to a fight. I get it, but now you're going to get a bat to the head. So the moral of the story is that not don't get into trouble or you'll get arrested or don't do anything bad or you'll be ostracized. That is going to happen no matter what you do. You'll be falsely accused. Something is going to come up. the moral of this story is you have to fight. You have to have empathy when it's someone, when someone near you, or you have to have empathy when anyone has been falsely accused. But you also, when it happens to you, you have to fight and say that I didn't do that, and get the real story out. Defend yourself. That's how we built, you know, the Western world, is standing up for ourselves. And there's a real culture of fear going on, and I totally understand it. When I see these guys going to jail, when I see these people being ostracized based on lies and rumors, when I see the media in cahoots with social justice warrior prosecutors, I go, I get being scared, but it's not going to work. You know, you can run, as Braveheart said, and you will live for a time. But as you lie there in your beds, what would you give from that moment to this to come back here and fight for freedom? Whew. I'm kind of overwhelmed by it all. I just wish there was a more innate sense of justice in everyone else. You should be mad when your fellow man gets fucked. Unless you're gay and at an orgy, you should be mad when someone close to you gets fucked. Thank you for tuning in. My show is tonight on CRTV Tonight with Gavin McInnes. We have Owen Benjamin. We got Will Chamberlain, not the basketball player. That's Wilt. We have Joy Villa, one of the funnest chicks around. She's just, these conservative conventions are so dull. And I always scope out Joy Villa and go, let's go to the bar and just sit here and drink beers with her. She is a joy. And Rob Shimshank, we're going to ask him, Shimshock. We're going to ask him about his stupid name. What the hell's going on with that? Shimshock? Sounds like he's in a breakdancing troupe. And then it's back to Get Off My Lawn on Monday. I like you more than a friend. Thank you for tuning in.